some neat things happening in our community. You know, that's one thing I love about Hills People is that real hunger and desire for God's word. And one of the important places that we have that focus is here on Sunday mornings. And I know that lots of you are really keen to discover more of God's word and see that reflected in your life. But I don't know about you. You know, sometimes you can read it and you think, man, that's pretty. That's a bit of a bizarre statement. It's a bit kind of unusual to be able to try living this way. And sometimes there's things Jesus said that seems outlandish. You can read something that maybe leaves you feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I know that there's sometimes that I can read the scriptures and that can feel like that for me. Sometimes he says things that can kind of feel a bit perplexing, a little bit confusing. And one of the ones is the passage that we come along to in our journey through the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 6, verse 20, and you might have the verse on your app, on your phone or something, and flick that open, or you have a Bible, flick that open, or if you don't, we have it up on screen. We cater for all angles. And let me read it to you. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, God will bless you people who are poor. His kingdom belongs to you. God will bless hungry people. You will have plenty to eat. God will bless you people who are crying. You will laugh. God will bless you when others hate you and you won't have anything to do and it won't have anything to do with you. God will bless you when people insult you and say cruel things about you, all because you're a follower of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when men speak well of you. For that is how they treated, that's how their fathers treated the false prophets. Do you hear what he's saying? He's talking, he's given a recipe of how to live a happy life, how to live a life that God blesses. And I think probably just about everyone on the face of the planet wants to live a happy life. And probably everyone that's sitting across churches in this country and later on in the rest of the world would be wanting to live a life that God truly blesses. But when you read this, it seems confusing because what Jesus is really saying here, if you really want to live a life that God blesses, if you want to live a happy life, then you'll be poor, you'll be hungry, you'll be crying. And most people will hate you because of the stance that you have for Jesus. That's confusing, isn't it? Because I thought Jesus said, I've come that you may have life abundantly. When I read that and I think, what? I got to be poor, I got to be hungry, I got to be weeping away in my life. And this is real. It sounds miserable life. Is that what it means that if you become a follower of Jesus, that your life is going to be miserable? God's going to bless you with a miserable life. How many people are living this one out? You know, we want to be people of the word. And you look at that and you think, what does he mean by that? You see, the word blessed means possessing the favor of God. It means marked by the fullness of God. It means experiencing spiritual prosperity. There's one translation puts it like this. Spiritually prosperous are the poor because yours is the kingdom of God. Spiritually prosperous are those who are hungering now because your desire will be satisfied. Spiritually prosperous are those who are weeping audibly because you shall laugh. You read that and you know you think, you know, if you know a little bit about the original word for that's translated spiritually prosperous or blessed, means happy. It can also be translated happy. Jesus is saying, if you want to live a happy life, a spiritually prosperous life, a life marked by the fullness of God, the only way that will happen is if you're poor, if you're hungry, and you're weeping. That's amazing, isn't it? You say, well, I really want to live out the full word of God. I want to do what Jesus says that I need to do. Then live this way. Poor, hungry, and weep. I kind of wonder whether the people who were listening to Jesus at the time were kind of looking at their watches thinking, oh, got another appointment I need to go to. But if you look a little closer, things kind of get interesting. You see, the word happiness that Jesus is talking about here, isn't it the sort of happiness that we get when we have a good time, like when we go to the beach or whatever your happy place seems to be? It's not that sort of happiness that's determinant on the outward circumstances, things that are happening to us, the good things that are going on, the parties we're going to, the friends we have, how much money we're making. It's a happiness that we have despite the circumstances. It's an inward happiness that he's talking about. And that's what God wants you to be experiencing. He wants you to be experiencing spiritual prosperity in your life. He wants you to be experiencing his blessing. He wants you to be experiencing happiness. He wants to be blessing your life. That's awesome, isn't it? Tell yourself that. God wants to truly bless my life. He wants me to be spiritually prosperous in the things that I do. And I can have a happy life despite the circumstances. Is that how it is for you? Could you put your hand out? Yeah, I'm happy. I'm spiritually blessed. I know the prosperity of God spiritually in my life. It's just amazing. This will only happen when you're poor, when you're hungry, when you're weeping, when people don't like you. Not because you're a pain in the neck, but because of your faith in Jesus. Doesn't sound like a winning formula, does it? Can you imagine it? Hey, then we go to put up a sign, you know, one of Malcolm's signs up the front, you know, come to Jesus and live a poor, hungry, crying life. You know, we're not going to build the church that way. We're not going to get the crowds in by putting those signs up or saying that sort of thing, you know. Go out and witness to the guy next to you and say, hey, you know, you want to come to Jesus? You'll be poor, you'll be hungry, and you'll weep. People won't be flocking to church or be signing up with that sort of something, you know, with that sort of thing, would they? Are we missing something in this? Well, if you notice that really Jesus is contrasting two groups of people. There's one group of people, there's two groups of people, obviously. And it's like he's saying, I want you to figure out, I want you to examine your heart and say which group you fit into. Which group do you fit into? Do you fit into the group that are blessed, or do you fit into the other group? And examine where you're finding your happiness, where you're looking for, what's the source of what makes you happy. Ask yourself which group you relate to. One group thinks happiness comes when they're rich and they've got plenty of money, material goods, and their happiness through satisfaction. When they're full, they like to laugh, have good time, they're seeking that sort of thing, enjoying life, living it to the full. They want a good reputation. They like it when other people like them and all that sort of stuff. And Jesus says, that's not the sort of attitude that God blesses. And then he says a real interesting thing. He said, the people with that sort of thing, at the end of the day, they won't be happy. They'll never be satisfied. In fact, their life will be a woe. Woe. He's really saying that their life is cursed. And I bet you that really got everybody's attention when he said that. What do you mean my life will be cursed if I'm going after these things? He's saying, well, if you're well-fed, if you're rich, you're prosperous, you guys better enjoy it now because it's going to be short-lived. It's only momentary. There will come a time when you will hunger, when you will never be satisfied. You'll never be able to satisfy that hunger. There will be a time when you're weeping and it will go on forever. Really what he's talking about is a word that we don't hear a lot about in churches nowadays, hell. And you can choose to live this way and go for the good life and be happy and try to be satisfied and all those sort of things. At the end of the day, it will never satisfy. You'll end up in a place where often it talks about it, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a torment. It's a horrific place. And the New Testament authors are trying to use words that would describe something horrific that will go on of an eternity like that. It's an eternity where God is not present. Nothing of God is there. God is entirely absent. And it's like God saying that if you don't really want to live with me, if you don't really want to follow me, if you don't want to put your faith in me and believe in me and have this wonderful relationship where I want to bless your life, then I'll give you your desire. And it will be eternal. I love you. But I'm not going to force you to follow me. It's your choice. I think that needs to make us up, doesn't it? That we don't want to see people go into that eternity, a godless eternity. And we can get consumed with all these things that people think are important. But I think this is the thing of most importance. Is that we do whatever we can to see people turn from that way of living to Jesus' way. But people don't like hearing that word hell, do they? Woo. I remember we used to have a sign at the church. I might have told this story before. Like Malcolm makes out the front sign of our church, and we really appreciate the work that he does there. Every fortnight, putting up a new sign. It is fortnightly, isn't it? And give or take, yeah. And I think he might have had this one. It had hell. Oh no, it didn't. It had eternity, smoking or non-smoking, and. And I liked it. I thought, hey, that's a real good one. It's going to give people something to think about in the community. And there were some guys. One guy used to work for the council from church, and he was driving up the hill with some guys in his truck, and they looked at the sign. The other guys in the train went, oh, what's this Christians always going on about hell? What is this thing about hell? Oh, it doesn't exist. And it really just rocked them up, this whole thing about hell. And it gave Dean an opportunity to share his faith. People don't like it. It causes a reaction in us, you know? And God said he's put eternity in our hearts, and it is there. And there is only two parts of eternity, either with God or not. And Jesus is kind of putting this before people and saying, which where are you? And I believe he's saying, nah, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to make your way spiritually prosperous. I want your life to be happy despite the circumstances that you live in right at the moment. And the way to a happy heart is to be poor, to be hungry, and to weep. So, well, that's not a good recipe. What do you mean? Well, let's look a little bit closer at it, because I think it's so easy to look at the words and miss what Jesus is really getting at here. The sermon kind of fits into a big part. You know, Jesus, as we saw a while back, came preaching about the kingdom of God and that we need to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's the whole context that Jesus is talking about here. This is what he's speaking about, is the kingdom of God. He came teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. These are kingdom principles. And back a few verses before this passage that I just read, he gives a bit of a run-up, and he's coming into it, and Luke's kind of laying out the scene. And in 6:13, and it goes like this. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from there he chose 12 apostles. So here's Jesus calling a whole lot of people to come to himself and to become his disciples. And this is an important word, because really what the rest of this chapter is going on about is how kingdom disciples live their life in the kingdom of God. And he's given some teaching on what kingdom discipleship is all about. You see, many of you today maybe have ticked the box and said, hey, I'm a Christian. But I don't think Jesus called us to become Christians. He called us to become disciples. And you see, I think actually there's probably pretty good grounds in that. But Christian is only mentioned about three times in the Bible, and the word disciple is mentioned about 269 times exactly. It's a big deal to God. He's calling you to be a disciple. And lots of you have heard that call. You've responded to it, said, Jesus, I've given you my heart, I've given you my life, I've laid it all down before you. I want to live your way. I love your word. I want to live out your word. But what does a disciple look like? Well, let me give you a quick definition. Last week we looked at Simon Peter. You know, Dave picked that up, and that time when he was with Jesus, and Matthew gives a real good account of the same scene, and he says something which is a nice easy way to memorize what a disciple is. He said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That's all you need to know. That's the definition of the disciple. A lot of you probably sung Tour, if it depends which age you are, you know. I will make you fishers of men, great old song, if you follow me. Yeah, that was a kid's ministry about 500 years ago. And we know the verse, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Great definition. Divide up into three things. Following Jesus. Following Jesus, that's to do with our head, and we're measuring our lives against him, living the way he lived too. I'll make you. It's talking about being changed. Bible gives the definition, transformed, renewed, changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, discipleship involves being committed to the mission of Jesus. We heard from Miriam and Chris, but they're not just the only ones doing that, or one or two people that we've got on the board. We're all involved on it. We're making fishers of men. Head, the heart, changed. And the hands, the ministry that we do. Head, heart, hands. We could sum it up like this. A disciple is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, committed to the mission of Jesus. Head, heart, hands. That's what it's all about. This is what the discipleship strategy that we're trying to outwork here at Hills Church. And if you're a newcomer here and you're wondering what Hills Church is about, is helping people live this blessed life God talks about by enabling them to be the disciples he wants us to be. And if you want to understand what it's about, this is going to affect the way that you live in your life. You'll be following Jesus. It'll affect the way that you're thinking. It'll affect your heart. You'll be changed. Your life will be changed in amazing ways when you discover this Jesus. Hands, you'll be living out the kingdom lifestyle in the places that he's called you. Head, heart, hands. And then Jesus goes on and he lifts his eyes up, verse 20, on looking at his disciples. And he's looking at all his disciples and saying, now let me tell you the attitude that you should have as a disciple, as a follower of mine. And this is what he launches into. And he says, this is the way that you should view the kingdom. And he says, the attitude that you should have, the attitude should be a blessed life. God will bless your life and you will be poor, that you will be hungry, and that you will weep. And this is where it gets really difficult. This is where it gets confusing. And you think, well, what does that mean? The poor, the hungry, and those that weep recognize one thing. They recognize their spiritual need. They recognize their spiritual need. And Jesus is talking about the spiritual attitudes of a disciple here. And the first part of the spiritual attitude of a disciple of Jesus is recognizing that you are spiritually poor. That you're spiritually bankrupt. That within yourself and with every effort that you can take, that you just don't have what it takes to connect to God. And from what I understand, the word poor actually means that it's focused on a state of dependence. So the poor that Jesus is talking about is people who have learned to be completely dependent on God for everything. The New Living Bible puts it like this: God blesses those who realize their need for him. They're the ones that possess the kingdom of God. I need God. I am spiritually poor. I need him to come into my life and enable me to live this life that he's talking about. When I truly acknowledge how bankrupt I am spiritually, then I'm going to be blessed by God. in his kingdom. That's amazing. And in his kingdom, there's abundance of blessing. In his kingdom, you know, his disciples realize that they're dependent on him for life, they're dependent on him for health, they're dependent on him for life after death, they're dependent on him for the wisdom they need to make and the choices they need to take, and they're dependent on him for freedom, for forgiveness, for peace, for joy, for finances, for food, for meaningful, fulfilling sex. They're dependent on God. One or two of you probably woke up then. Sex? Did he say sex? Yeah. God created it to be meaningful and fulfilling for people in a relationship. And he wants to bless your relational life and sexually. Not outside of his confines of marriage, but in it. A spiritually prosperous life. A life he blesses, a life of happiness, a life fulfilled. The first step to happiness, first step to spiritual prosperity is recognizing how poor we are, spiritually poor. And true poverty of spirit will lead to two things, a spiritual hunger and a spiritual mourning. Blessed are those who hunger now, for you be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, and you'll be laughing. Hungry people, it's talking about a spiritual appetite here. A blessed life is a life that's hungry for more of God, hungry for more of the Father heart of God, hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, hungry to know more of Jesus, hungry to know the will of God, the purposes of God, hungry to know righteousness, hungry to know holiness. And the Bible says if you have that sort of hunger, you'll be satisfied. So many people are looking for satisfaction and lots of other things. Jesus says you'll never find it. In fact, at the end of your life, you will live the most dissatisfied, heartache life in eternity forever. The only way you're satisfied is to have a hunger for God. How's your hunger? How's your hunger? How hungry are you for more of God? That's what I love about people here at Hills, you know, that hunger for more of God. I see it in the worship, you know, people, I am so hungry for more of God. I just want to feed on Him. I just want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want more of God. You know, in the times that we've had some of the seminars, people, man, just hungry for more of the Spirit, and they've got touched by more of God's Spirit, and they're just desperately hungry to know more and more and more about God. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, 11, verse 6, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He wants to reward you. How hungry are you? Don't lose that hunger. Seek Him. Seek Him. He'll reward you. And as you realize your spiritual poverty and desire more of God, it'll lead to weeping. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about a change of life that you realize, hey, this isn't the way I want to live. I want to change. It's recognizing that we don't have what it takes to be the people we were created to be. And our heart cry is, God, change me. That's the life that's blessed. That's the spirit attitude Jesus is calling his disciples to live by. This is the way we should live in the kingdom of God. It's all about living a life that's completely dependent on God for everything. It's all about having a deep hunger for more of God. When we do, we'll be satisfied. Richly satisfied. It's all about having a deep desire to become the person God created you to be. Allowing Him to change you, to renew you, to transform you, head, heart, hands. That's not an outlandish, that's not an unusual, that's not bizarre. I think that's the only way to live, a life that God truly blesses.